Good morning. Thank you, Swenson family, for the music. I really love music. The psalm we're looking at today is actually a song. It was written by the sons of Korah, they who were descendants from Levite, and likely their job, their role in the church was to take care of the musical worship. You know, life is really hard, and sometimes you don't notice it until it's almost too late. And sometimes God lets life be hard just to strengthen your faith. So you might have an illness, or you might forget to save your final draft of a speech you gotta give. I just did that. And you know, it's ironic because today we're reading Psalm 46. The title of this psalm is God is our fortress. We're reading about God being our refuge and our strength in times of trouble. And I think we all have things going on in our lives right now that we need a little help with. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 46. Reading in Jesus' name. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. So this song is divided into three parts. So there's three verses. The first verse I like to think of as the theme being confidence in God. So the psalmist starts this verse off declaring his confidence in God, saying, our God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, a lot of times when you're having a rough day or you got to go do something and you're pretty nervous about it, people will tell you, find your happy place. Find that memory or find that spot that just makes you happy and think of that, and that'll bring you through. Well, oftentimes that happy place is a worldly thing. It's a memory that is past. It's a vacation spot that is miles away. The writer of this psalm isn't saying, find your worldly happy place. He is declaring, God is our strength. We don't need to think of an old memory. God is our strength. God is our refuge. God isn't an old memory. God isn't far away. He is very present help in trouble. The psalm goes on. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This is really a scary thing to picture. Like, I just imagine an earthquake shaking and mountains crumbling down into the sea. I imagine I've never been out in the ocean in a boat, but imagine being in a storm in the ocean and you're like the ocean's raging and the mountains are falling and the water is crashing up against the rocks. That's a scary thought. And yet, the psalmist says, we've already established that God is our refuge. We've already decided God is our strength. We believe this. So why should we fear? We have no reason to fear. No, sometimes our life can be like crashing waves. Sometimes we feel like all the things that are going on are just hitting us left and right, and it's just beating us down, and our world is crashing down. And a lot of the time, when we need God the most, we forget to even think about asking Him for help because we think we can do it on our own. When really, all we have to do is just stop for a second and turn around and realize He's standing right over our shoulder, ready to help us. We'll move on. This will be the second stanza. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. So we go from violent waters now to a river. This verse, as I was studying, this is just very, it makes me feel at peace. Because we consider the troubles of the earth, the raging sea, the crumbling mountains, and then God's presence. And now we have a peaceful river. So the writer describes a river flowing out of the city of God. The river is a picture of a peace for God's people. It says the river makes glad the city of God. The people are glad because they are with God in His mighty fortress. And now they have a river with an abundance of water to withstand any siege that comes against them. God dwells in the midst of this city. The city will not be moved. Although the earth, as we saw in verse 2 and 3, can be moved, God's city will stand firm because He helps her. As morning dawns, scattering the darkness of night, God scatters His adversaries. The city here is referenced, could be the city of Jerusalem. The holy habitation would be the innermost part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, where God dwelled at the time. This is a significant image because Jerusalem doesn't actually have a river flowing through it. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 47, we read about Ezekiel's vision of a river flowing out from the temple itself. The river is flowing, living water that gives life to all who come near it. This kind of makes us consider not just the present-day city of Jerusalem, but also the New Jerusalem, which is God's dwelling in the hearts of people on earth. God's new city in our hearts. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and God dwells within you? The Holy Spirit dwelling within us is the river of peace and gladness, where out of Jesus Christ comes living water that gives life and salvation through his blood shed for you and me. Verse 7 says this, and this is like the chorus, and you'll see this this same phrase come up at the end. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We don't have a weak God or an unfaithful God like many of the idols during the time of Judah and many idols people have today. We have a God who is in control and leads a host of mighty angels in heaven. A God who is present everywhere. A God who no longer just dwells in the temple of Jerusalem, but he dwells in every Christian's heart because of his son's blood. And the God of Jacob, we can remember, Jacob was a shady guy for a while. And yet God had grace, and God passed a promise. He passed the promise. He had promised to Abraham, he promised to Isaac, he passes it down to Jacob. You will have a mighty nation. And God keeps his promise. And the same God that is faithful and keeps his promise is the Lord who is with us always. The final stanza of this song. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then this is the big part right here. We notice a change in tone. So this whole time we've been talking in third person. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Now we switch to God talking. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So we see it say, come behold the works of the Lord. And we think of his works. We can think of the mountains and the flowers and the clouds in the sky and the stars and how the universe is perfectly aligned to provide us life. And yet, we go on and see the psalmist is talking about, says, how he has brought desolations on the earth. Well, you don't usually think of desolation as being a good thing. And yet, here we are, he's saying, come, behold the works of the Lord, see his glory, see his desolations. There are many stories, in the Old Testament especially, where God saves his people from their enemies. You have Gideon against the Midianites, where just a small crowd of men, with God's help, scared the Midianites so bad that they started slaughtering themselves and fought among themselves, and the battle was fought without a single one of Gideon's men getting involved. We see Hezekiah when he's under siege from Assyria. The king of Assyria says, "Your God will not save you." He says, "Why do you hope?" He's trying to tear the city down. He's trying to make them go crazy, make them lose hope so that they cannot stand and fight. And he blasphemes God, and he says, "I've torn down cities all throughout Judah, and their gods never saved them. Yours will not save you either." And Hezekiah prays. He's like, Lord, we're under siege, and Lord, he's blaspheming you. Will you let this stand?" And that night, God sent his angel of death and slayed 185,000 men. And the next morning, the king of Assyria gets up. His army is dead. And all he can think is, "How? How does that happen?" God uttered his voice, and the army melted. The army was gone. And all the king could do was turn around and go home. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. You know, another war that we all fight. This has been around since right after creation, is the war with the devil and sin. And yet he already fought that battle for us. As Mike read earlier, talking about God comes to the garden to walk in the garden. "Adam, where are you?" "I'm hiding because I know I've sinned." "Who told you you've sinned?" "I ate of the tree." God's loved creation betrayed him. The punishment of that betrayal is death. And yet, God said, "I have a plan." And he cursed the serpent, and at the same time, he gave us a promise. He said, "There will be enmity between you and the woman, and with her offspring, and with your offspring. And he will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel." All the harm that Satan does in this world, he knows what this means. He knew he would be defeated, and he did everything he could to cause trouble on the way. But all that harm is nothing but a bruise on God's heel. And Jesus came to the cross, and Jesus died on the cross, and he crushed the serpent's head. He defeated sin. He fought our battle. The battle is won. "Be still and know that I am God." There's another time in the Bible we see God say, "Be still." It's in the book of Mark, chapter 4, 35-39. Jesus and his disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. It says, "On that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" This "be still and know that I am God," that phrase in this psalm has the same tone. We see God defeating his enemies, breaking their instruments of war. And he says, "Be still. Stop fighting a battle you can't win. I am God. I will be exalted in your nation. I will be exalted in the earth. Like I said, I'm missing some pages, so I don't have my conclusion. But so I guess my conclusion, I'm going to just make a song recommendation. This is one of my favorite songs. It's called Symphony by Switch. And the chorus goes like this. Even in the madness, there is peace. Even, I don't remember the words now. I knew it earlier. Anyway, it's good. Basically, it's saying, this world has a lot of chaos. I don't know if you've ever looked at a sheet music for a symphony. If you don't know anything about music, that just looks like chaos. It's like, what am I looking at? There's dots here and a couple lines there, and I don't know what that splat over there is. But our life is like God's symphony. He has his plan. So we have stuff going on here, and there's something going on here, and we just feel like we're going crazy, and yet God has a plan. He's writing it all together. Even in the chaos, he's writing a symphony. He has an end goal, and that end goal is that we would live with him in heaven. We'll close again with the chorus of this psalm, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you for safety, that we can come to you for help, and that we don't have to wait. Even if we don't always understand, Lord, you're working, you're helping us. You're always present, you're always here. Lord, bless this church. May we be a light to the community, and may we help others the way you help us. May we just be a little beacon for you. Amen.